Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask that your Spirit would be with us this morning, O Lord, that we would be able to enter into a place of truth, O Lord.
Yes.
That we would have ears for the truth, O Lord.
Yes.
That we would speak your truth, Lord. That it would not be our own good ideas, but truth from heaven. Oh, by your Spirit. Do that good work today, O Lord. And Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that your hand of blessing would be on each one of us. It's difficult winter time and so forth. Be with us, O Lord, as
yes.
We go through the upcoming week and so forth. Weeks. By your Spirit. Do that good work. Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
Well, I don't think that the listening to the scripture thing or what we're doing is just an accidental thing that we happen to stumble onto. I have a sneaking suspicion from the scriptures it's a necessity. God said in the first Psalm, "Blessed is the one who delights in my word. And on this word does he meditate day and night." And so, I'll give you just a few examples. And so we have the Matthew 7 thing where it says, "Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, we did this, we did that, we did these things." And he'll say, "Now, this does not seem fair." But he's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You are workers of sin, iniquity." And so then he gives us the two illustrations which people easily miss. I missed it for years. Just a few verses later, he says, "The one that hears these sayings of mine and does them is like the man who builds his house on a rock," etc. And the one that hears hears these sayings and doesn't do it is like the man that built his house on the sand. And so we know from those two examples that the problem with the Matthew 22 Christians was not hearing. They heard the word, but they didn't do it. Or what if they heard the wrong thing? What if they had just allowed themselves to be duped by the devil and were listening to false doctrine or were in an environment, you know, what if that was the case? I'm just saying, what if? And I began to get an understanding of something the last couple of days, but this morning especially. And we want, the Christian church is geared so that people want early retirement, and they want to. Pastors want to retire from the ministry, and that's common. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the church organizations have early retirement for their pastors, and they got a pretty good setup for them. And but we got a problem, and the problem is if the Old Testament is any example to us, the Levites were the priests, and we are a holy nation, a holy priesthood, that we should speak forth the praises of God. I mean, that's what we're called to do. And so, when they crossed the Jordan River, and I think Joshua is the one that God used to tell them this. I don't think Moses did. But he said to each of the 12 tribes, they're going to have an inheritance. One of them will be inheriting the land of, of whatever land. And except for the one tribe, what was it? The Levites. That was God's ministers.
He was their inheritance.
God was their inheritance. And so we get the scriptures like, in Ezekiel 37, and where God says, can these bones live? And then it tells us later on, if we look at it, he says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They're not really dead, dry bones out there. They're just the condition of Israel. And so he says, can they live? And Ezekiel is afraid to answer him, really. He says, Lord, you know. And he says, prophesy to them. Speak to them. Oh, that's all he meant. Tell them. And that's what God has told us to do. Tell them, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Not the wrong words, not the false doctrines, but hear the word of the Lord. And so, so it says, and so they did. Apparently they did. Because all of a sudden, the bone began to come together and things began to happen. And so we know that was the effect or the result. Now, that's a vision. That doesn't mean that everybody did. But in that vision, and so we see that this is God's will. That's what he wants. And we see it throughout the scriptures. The scriptures are consumed with the reasons that we listen to God's word, that we take in God's word. And so I'm thinking, you know, when it says that the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Or when they asked Jesus, they said, well, what about the Pharisees? And he said, and then he gives them this answer. Because they said, well, what about the Pharisees? Because he kept telling them they were of their father, the devil. And he said, every plant that my father does not plant will be destroyed. And what he's telling us is, he didn't plant the Pharisees. They planted themselves. They were false. They were false. And God wants to plant a real tree. You know, we have the parable of the sower. He wants the real plants planted that are, but they have to be his way. They can't be anything but his way. And so, anyway, as the Levites, that's who we are. We're a holy nation. A royal priesthood. So based on that, God is looking to produce a people that are of a special blend. That can't be what I was for years and years and years. It can't be that. It has to be a real thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God is the one that knows the difference. You know, we can't tell. We can look at other people. We don't know who's who, but God does. And if Jesus is going to separate the chaff from the wheat and is going to do this thing, he knows who's who. He knows what's what. Anyway, I got more to say, but I can't remember where it was.
No, you're talking about those who hear the word and do it. I was thinking this morning about the publican and the Pharisee.
Yeah.
And there's one real important thing that you need to do if you're going to be to have the heart of a publican. And that's to do all sorts of wrong, error, sinful things. Well, am I wrong? Anybody got an argument with that?
I'm going to
check. I mean, it's the world of standards and not the Pharisee standards. Let's see.
Go ahead.
Well.
It's all, it's he's conveying a point. And all of us should be having the heart of the publican.
Yes.
We all fall short.
Right.
Including the Pharisee there. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, the problem I am raising isn't really a problem. Although, I think you really have a leg up if you do a bunch of obvious wrong things, as probably the publican did, you know. I felt the presence of the Lord when I was in jail ministry. Just loud, strong, clear. A lot more than I have in church sometimes, you know. But, you know, you start to try to figure out God, he'll flip things on you and make you realize that, no, he's not going to get himself in a box.
And the other thing about that parable or that story is that the Pharisee was judging everything by himself.
Okay.
I'm glad I got to make that public. And the thing is, the Pharisee was also judging himself by his own standards and not by God's.
He came out pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, it sounded like he had a pretty good case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, you know. I mean, long dresses.
Yeah.
Long hair. Don't do this, don't do that. It was all to fit the standard, and that's just a small example.
To appear holy.
Right.
And Jesus was down on their cases, I mean, on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were using their own, we can't use our own thinking to judge. It says, judge not, lest you be judged. And I don't want to be judged by my judgments. I'm afraid to be judged by God, but I don't want to be judged by mine, you know.
Let me share a little something else, as long as I guess off on some straight direction. Gene and I were having our own informal worship time here one morning this last week, and there's a song that says, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Good song. Anyway, it grabbed hold of me, and it is so easy to, you know, sing this thing and have a real worshipful look on your face, whatever, attitude. Yeah, you can feel it. Not that you're being a total hypocrite, but, you know, you put those words to work. And say, yes, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And you look to start breaking chains because there's power, you know, mm-hmm. take it at face value. You know, and we had a real good worship, right? We broke some kind of weak chains. You're right.
You got to get
thank you. But no, it was good. You know, we sing. You know, we mouth these things, and it is best to make it real as you can. Al. And do it your own initiative. You know, it's got to be the Spirit of the Lord that is prompting you and so forth. But nonetheless, power in the name of Jesus to break every chain.
God,
let's see some broken chains around.
if you take that first step, God will back his word up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So you got to start.
You ready to climb on a different horse?
Sure.
There's some scriptures that are kind of strange, and I've heard for years, but it never made any sense, and I think it's starting to. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 2, I think, it says, you know, the Israelites, the ones that came out of by Moses, it says that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So I looked up in my other translations, and it says either into or unto or into. They were baptized into Moses. They're baptized into Moses. They're baptized into Moses. And I'm thinking, well, you know, but that's not the end of the picture. Because in Romans, or in Galatians 3:27, it says, to those that were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. We're talking about baptism. Those that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When I looked that up to see if it was the same, it says the same thing in all the translations. And in Romans 6:3, it says, and to those that were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. You know, we have been baptized, or being baptized, or thinking about baptism, but something has really, I don't want to say plagued or tormented or anything like that, but has really been on me, and I can't get rid of it. I don't think, as yet, that we understand what baptism is. I think, you know, of course, to obey is better than sacrifice, so that we know we're supposed to be baptized, so we do. But I'm not so sure that we understand what baptism is. And I think that Paul and the first church, I think they did. You know, they're the ones that wrote this, and you know, that God used to write it, you know, but they're baptized into Christ. That doesn't fit anything that I'm familiar with. But that's what the Bible says. But I think I'm getting it. Baptism means immersion, and it also means, you know, being fully covered or fully, you know. That's why Ron Tito, remember we learned those words in the community chapel, which is sprinkling. It doesn't cover you. And so baptism was God's, and through water, and why? You know, that's not even really the issue. But God has determined that through baptism that we put on Christ. So it says in Mark, in the 16th chapter of Mark, it says, and they that believe and are baptized will be saved. Well, that section of Mark is questionable in the minds of a lot of people, because they think that that doesn't really fit, because it's not in all of the Old Testament or the old manuscripts. But everything else fits. You know, the rest of it is from somewhere or other, you know. But And so Peter says, and by this, he says, baptism does not save you. It's not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but it's the act of a good conscience. And so I'm beginning to, you know, I'm getting more and more and more of the picture, but you know what? You've got to get it from the Scriptures. And you have to get it by the Holy Spirit. If you don't, you're coming up with something yourself. I don't want that. So what is the truth here? What is the answer? But I have been driven in this thing. But you know what? When we do begin to whoever does, I can't, but whoever baptizes, we need to get a little bit better understanding for people. See, a love for the truth, because they didn't receive a love for the truth, that they could be saved. A love for the truth, then, is somehow a salvation issue. You know what I mean? So if people don't have a love for the truth, so few there be that find it. Find what? Love for the truth. The truth. Should there be that find it? Why aren't they going to find it? They're not hearing it. Day after day after day, they go to a church someplace and they say, God have mercy. But they go and they hear stuff that's not true. And after a while, if you hear something that's a lie enough, after a while you believe it. Is that what he says? And he says that he will cause them to believe a lie. I can't cause people to believe a lie, but I can preach a lie until they believe it.
You know, whether Mark 16 should be in canon or not, there's wisdom in the whole deal.
Yeah.
It is believing and then doing it, almost like a single act or thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But before you start making some kind of ritualistic formula of it, the next line is, those who believe not, doesn't say anything about baptism.
Yeah.
But those who believe not, they'll be damned. So you can't, you know, again, you can't just make it a hard and fast rule, but that, hey, there's, but don't drop. Believe and be baptized. It's believing and doing. You know, that's essential to the whole process. Not that there can't be some, you know, exception where you believe and then get struck by lightning just as you're heading into the baptism pool, you know. Oh, darn, you know, it doesn't work that way. But you know, I think it's whether or not it belongs there, and I guess it probably does, it's there. There's great wisdom in it.
Well, not only that, we see the same picture over and over and over throughout the Scriptures. So it's not wrong. We could put our salvation and limit our salvation to baptism, which is wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the believing is the issue. And so as the act of a good conscience, when you believe, you get baptized. One of the reasons is because that's what the Bible says. But the next thing is, I feel that God wants to give us an understanding of why.
Yeah, there's plenty of evangelical churches out there, fundamental, whatever. You know, you make your confession and then you get baptized and okay, got that all squared away.
And let me say one other thing while I think of it. I'll forget it. One of the other things is the formula is vital. You know, we're not being baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a wrong doctrine. We're being those that are baptized into Christ put on Christ. Well, Christ is not a deity word. It's an anointed man word. We're being baptized into a man. in the image and the likeness of a man. And you know, in Romans 6:3, where it says, to those who have been baptized into Christ, or into, were baptized into his death, and it says the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what baptism symbolizes. And so I got thinking about this in, you know, in Philippians 3:10, I'm not sure. But anyway, it says, Paul says, oh, that I might know him. And now listen, we're baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable to his death. Are you following what I'm saying? Those are the same three issues. And they're in reverse, but it doesn't matter. And so what does he want? He wants to know those character, those qualities. And you know what? I think that's what God wants us to know. He wants us to know this thing. God wills us for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants us to, if it's available, he wants us to get it. Or be open to receive it. Nobody's going to have all truth when at the end of our life, but we're going to, whatever truth God wants us to have, we better be open to get it.
Amen.
And there's some major, major truth in baptism that not anyone, including me, has a clue as yet as to what it is. But the Bible is so full of so many things. God wants us to be totally consumed in Christ. Until we're totally covered. When the Bible says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature, Jesus is God's divine nature. That's who he is. That's who he was. You know what I mean? And however it happened, I don't know.
And I do think that consuming stuff is important. You know, my sister Pat, I think she was being a little bit of a devil's advocate, but she was saying, I prefer the sprinkling because it doesn't get my hair so messed up that way, you know. Well, I think she was making a point, in a sense, you know. Or if she wasn't, I'll make a point for her. You know, and that is, man doesn't particularly want to get all wet. You know?
Right, I guess I get that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How important is baptism to salvation?
That's
the whole
thing.
I mean, so how important is baptism to salvation? Are we saved if we're not baptized, if we didn't get baptized? I'm asking because Taj is going through this right now. She's questioning. She wants to be baptized, but she doesn't want to be baptized until she understands it fully.
Well, tell her to wait.
And that's what she's doing, you know. She's with a group of people called Faith Riders. And they wanted to get baptized. But she says, not until I know for sure what I'm doing. And she's even, you know, when she was a kid, that was the same thing. No, I don't want to be baptized until I know what I'm doing. So is she saved if she doesn't get baptized?
You know what? Here's my answer. God is a righteous judge.
If her reason for not wanting to be baptized is belief in an insufficient revelation of it, then, hey, how do you argue with that?
I don't.
Right.
And don't.
But I don't have answers to the questions either,
right.
You know.
No.
Right.
But she's going through that right now, so it's really amazing that you guys have brought that up.
I have so many things that I have heard or seen over the years. Mm-hmm. And we were praying for a young woman. This was years ago now, at the Pentecostal church. And the church itself, it was Gordon Steinhauer and me, and we had been witnessing to her. She was a young Lutheran woman, had a couple of little kids, and she had cancer. And so anyway, we prayed, and she died. But just before she died, you know, in the presence of her husband and whoever else was there praying for her, I wouldn't be there, but she said, "You can let me go. I can see Jesus. He's right up there. He's coming for me." Okay, what do you do with that? I'm not going to argue with that.
No.
She's dying. That's not just some made-up thing. That she actually did. You know what I mean? She was not baptized. And but she certainly loved the Lord. And I mean, I've got a number of other things just like that that I'm familiar with. It's like, even though we know God has given us some real insights, when it comes to God, He can change anything He wants at any time. But He might not change it for us. He's told us what to do. He might want us to do that. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't say might. He does want us to.
But then on the other hand, being baptized doesn't give you a guarantee either.
No.
That's right.
Right. Right.
No.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
No.
You know, I, Todd is a little stubborn. And it can be frustrating. I've had dealings enough with Taj. She probably gets it from both of them. You're both wanting each other. Anyway, but you know, you got to respect that.
I do.
You got to respect.
I do too.
That, hey, I'm not doing it until I.
Oh, you're ready.
You got to respect that.
Yep.
Because when she does make the decision,
that
I know
right.
that she knows.
Yes. Yeah.
It's uh-huh. not doing it just to do it.
Right.
So, no, I respect it totally. You know.
Yeah.
I just wished I had answers for her, but I told her, you just got to pray about it and get the answers from the Spirit. Because I don't have them.
See, there's some scripture. There's a scripture, and I'm trying to think of which one it is. It's in the book of Acts, I think. It says, "When you know you need to be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." It's like, I don't really see the washing away of the sins. It has some other spiritual significance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
22:16.
Huh?
Acts 22:16.
How is it worded? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you could see.
Oh, you can go look it up.
it looks like you could get your sins washed away.
And now what are you waiting for? Yeah. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on His name.
Yeah.
And it's like, it almost seemed out of place with a lot of things, but it's in there. So in that sense, to obey is better than sacrifice. Because it is in there, that's what you do. And the thing that is strange is that baptism is almost a universal thing, because somehow God has put that in the minds of people that, you know, that's what they need to do. I have one question, and that's with the Ethiopian eunuch. He's going along, and Philip is telling him about the Lord, you know, and out of the book of Isaiah. And they're going along, and he asks this Philip, he says, I say, Philip, climb up into the chariot with him. And he says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And I'm thinking, why do you want to be baptized? I didn't hear enough about baptism. But apparently Philip had said something, you know. Mm-hmm. But we've baptized a lot of people, in this church, and we haven't baptized people for too long now. But you know what? I've been around Cole, Chelsea's husband, and anyway, he's very open to the things of the Lord. It's a real joy. So it's good.
Connection with Hodge. I remember, you know, when I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues, just right bang, right same time.
When you got baptized?
No,
when
I responded to an altar call, right about right there.
Yeah.
And I got down on my knees and said, "Yes, Lord." You know, I kind of went through my own version of the sinner's prayer, and then I was speaking in tongues. You know, by 10 minutes later, you know, well, that's not the way it's supposed to go. You know. Later on, there was a fella around that he was seeking the baptism and he wasn't receiving it, and it was a real frustration for him. You know, sort of saw himself as a second class Christian or whatever, you know. And I told him my experience. And I said, the Lord did that because I was weak. You know? He said, "Hey, if you don't get it now, you might not get caught." You know? we hurry up this process. And I told him, you know, treat your not getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit as being an indication that, no, the Lord's got some respect for your staying with it,
your power,
whatever, you know? And, you know, I was surely right in some respect for that. Well, I wonder if something like that it wouldn't be going on with Taj, too. It's not a quick, you know, but, hey, when she really has the revelation of what baptism is. What a baptism.
She's open to it.
Yeah. Right. What a great, I mean, that is a baptism you really want to get baptized with.
Yeah.
Because you have been seeking revelation and you finally got the green light to do it, you know. That is really what you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about it, you know.
Yeah, no, but it's...
Because I know she believes, and she...
Yeah.
You know, and she's witnessing to people, and she's praying for people, and she knows where to go when she needs it, you know.
Right. Where's your
mama? I bet more the Lord. Hey, Mama doesn't have the answers all the time.
I heard a testimony many, many years ago, but anyway, Don Moritz's dad, Russ Burnett, all of a sudden he knew he had to be baptized. And where they lived, and so they cut a big hole in the ice and baptized him.
Oh.
And a true story.
He
didn't receive the Holy Spirit for a number of years.
Yeah.
But you know what? He prayed for a lot of other people that did. Is that strange?
Yeah.
See, somehow the Spirit was in him or on him.
Right.
Here we go, you know. He just didn't get the tongues associated with it. But anyway, I don't know if I heard him tell it or his dad. I'm not sure, or Don.
It strikes me, you know, we're using Taj as an example, and hey, if you were here this time, we'd love you, you know. Well, maybe it's not that. It strikes me that Taj is building her house on a solid rock.
Absolutely.
She's not just going, I think,
with the flow.
The sand is a quick thing. Come on, let's just go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, let's put up a small, you know, we can put this house up, this prefab, really fast, and you can get everything done. But when you're building it on a solid rock, you don't want to just build it. You want to know why you're building it.
And I think
that's good.
Part of the reason that's happening is the pastor where she's at appreciates her because she questions everything. She doesn't let him get by with nothing. And he said that to her. He said, I don't know, but I will search. So I think she's there for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. And that's the best part. I mean, I think we've seen so many people that just kind of follow in a line of, oh, okay, I'll do this, next, I'll do that, I'll do that. You know, I mean, and you're going, yeah, well, why did I do it? What did I do? And I guess I'm okay now. And she's not looking for the blind faith. She's looking for the faith that's in her heart. And that's what we should be looking. We should all be building that solid foundation because there is as much pressure in so many religions. I mean, I think I probably said this one time, but our next door neighbor, when we lived down in Melby, she babysat for two kids, and they weren't baptized, and she baptized them in her sink because she's Catholic.
Yeah.
And you have to be baptized. So if anything happened to those kids, they were going to go to heaven. And was her heart bad?
No.
She was raised Catholic. This is what she believed. I think the Lord takes into consideration, it's not just a, if we're not all karmic copies, because if we're all the same, well, one, it'd be really boring, but two, what would the Lord have then? He wouldn't have the freedom and the free will and the choosing Him. We would just be all mannequins of, okay, well, you've now done this, this, and this. Okay, I'm done with the beard if that was fun. That's not his plan.
No.
There's more. And I think that's, you know, to question, to want to know is the biggest thing. Because how do you find an answer? Yeah. And that's the only way you're going to find it. And I think it's very important to talk with people. I really do. I mean, sometimes you can look at something and go, man, this is like a foreign language. Somebody else can say it, and you're going, oh, that's English.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is that truth. So that I think the body ministry is very important, but if you don't take the time to sit down and say, okay, I'm not just going to do this because somebody said it was the right thing to do. We can watch enough TV with TV evangelists and say, hey, you know what? If you send me X amount of dollars, you're probably going to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh,
well, you're going to get a miracle.
And, you know, and health is going to come upon you, and the next thing you know, you're going to be a great evangelist, you know.
Point say Hail Mary so many times.
Right. You know, it's true. Mm-hmm. And I believe you have to walk with the Lord.
Yep.
He has to be your buddy and your pal. I'm sorry. That may be simplifying it, but to me, He has to be my friend.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, He's God, don't get me wrong, but I can have that personal friend high-five relationship with Him, or that's me. That's how I've always been.
That's how you relate,
And my house, you know, it could be slow in building, but we're all building it. And that's what's important. You're building it from the ground up. You're not building it. Like you said, we could do a prefab. A prefab's not going to get us. The prefab's going to be on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to wash away.
Right.
And that's not what we... That's not what I want.
Right. Good.
We all build our house in a different way.
We do.
Yeah. You know? You do it one way. I'll do it one way. Everybody's going to do it a little bit different, but you're building the same house, but you're going at it in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So just because I may not be putting in this particular piece in the house and you're doing this piece doesn't mean mine's no better or worse than yours.
Not at all.
You know.
Three or four decades.
Yeah.
If you look upon a house as being the wisdom that God gives you, if there is that, you know, asking him how you build it, you know, he may say, are you going to need this?
We're not all in the same place with him, so we build it different because we're not in that place at all of us at the same time.
Right.
You know, not yet anyway. But, you know, and that's why you build it different.
Yeah.
You build it to where you are at in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, Paul talks about the body of Christ. And he says, are we all noses? No. Are we all hands? No. Are we all ears? You know, we all have different functions. And I think that suggests basically what you were saying, that we're progressing in a different way because we have different functions. You know, but it all works together to form a body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the ultimate goal. I mean, is it not what we want? Is
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be me.
Yeah, you don't want a ear that smells.
I mean, it's important for us to share. And it's like sharing our building plans. But not necessarily, you know, it not being the carbon copy, because God has made us all individuals that are, I mean, what something for me might be a huge achievement is something for somebody going, I do that all the time. And vice versa. I mean, we don't know what, you know, the path that God has chosen, and that's why it's all different for each and every one of us. As much as I get very frustrated at times and get woe is me and sad me and oh poor me and why did God do this to me, I have to respect the fact that God loves me enough to keep me on the path. And to keep, you know,
he just gave up.
Yeah. I mean, he's going, come on, Susan.
When we did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I can't make your path better. I can pray for you, and I can love you, and I can do everything. But I can't be the lifeline, and that's what the Lord is.
Absolutely.
I feel strong about it.
That's
true. Because if the Lord has, I just see the Lord having such great plans for all of us. And I do. I mean, and it's exciting, and it's, and I'm happy, so happy for her life. But it's not that our ways.
Yep.
Well, we're all in a different place in the Lord, and that's why we share. Because I might say, or something, you might say something that's going to benefit somebody else
later on.
That, yeah. So be appreciative mm-hmm. at the place you're in. Because you might be doing a lot of good for somebody else in that
exactly.
place.
Exactly.
Sure.
Just because I'm not in your place doesn't mean your place is better than mine.
No.
It just fits where God wants me to be in that place.
Yeah. And we have to count it all positive. And exciting. And looking forward to the next. Because there's so much more.
Be ready.
The song said.
We got to be ready.
Yeah.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you go, okay. They are baptized into Christ and put on Christ. that he might present it to himself. Now, that's a strange thought pattern, but Christ is going to present the church to himself. Mm-hmm. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so it's, that's in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, which is, you know, it's also, you know, you can't tell, and some of it, it looks like we're talking about the husband-wife relationship, and then it says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church, you know, because that was the likeness that he gave there. But somehow, we're going to understand things, a lot of things that we don't, and it's like, it's a deception to think we know something when we really don't. And but a lot of ministers are under the pressure. It's like, well, they'll think less of me if I don't have an answer. And you know what? God doesn't want us to have an answer until he gives it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Don't come up with an answer.
No.
I've been put in that place, you know, a number of times over the years, and I leaned on somebody else's answer, and theirs wasn't right either.
He does a lot of performance. He wants the truth.
He wants the truth. And because they did not receive a love for the truth that they might be saved, which tells me then that salvation has to do with us being open to the truth. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that that we're going to go to hell because we haven't gotten all the truth yet. It just means that we're open to the truth, and whatever God has for us at that point, we get.
Yes.
I think for myself, I am advanced in Christian maturity with the more questions that I can leave unanswered.
And that's healthy. It's actually healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief.
Yeah.
And basically, that's what the guy was saying.
Yeah.
Help me with my unbelief.
He probably ought to be in his sick bed.
Yes.
Not the sick bed, the bed of healing.
The bed of healing, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Way to go, Glenn.
Restoring. Restoration. Are we done there? Very good. Thank you, people. I love you.
I love you.